Now, if there is a succubus harem within your mind, living in your mental mansion, branded and linked together, how do they first arrive? Well, first we address the essential question, which you may be familiar with from other work in the same theme. What is a succubus? The classical image is a seductive, otherworldly creature, sure, but that is less what we're talking about here. This discussion is about your own urges and desires, but solidified, given form, personified. In fantasy, we will often do this, envisioning our forms being touched and caressed by an outside conceptualization of a partner made of an image and fantasy inside our heads. But in this case, I'm describing a feminine image. Your particular succubus could be anything or anyone, imagery and concept derived from your mind for your enjoyment. The idea of conceptualizing your thoughts, fantasies, needs, and expectations as another internal person is quite useful. After all, we often live up to expectations better when they come from outside, or when we externalize them. Also, sensual stimulation feels even better when it comes from someone other than oneself. And the same would extend to a conceptualization of your own desires, formed into an alluring feminine shape. Yes, feel a caress presently, a hand sliding over your thigh, between your legs, the shuddering wonderful thrill and shiver of a momentary intimate touch. And then cessation. Because we must, after all, begin from scratch. First to create a space into your mind in which the succubus will dwell, and then to build the basics of name, appearance, and personality. Of course, you've already been asked to envision and imagine this lover, this partner, this externalization of a mental fantasy. And so you may already have things like name and appearance firmly in mind, so much so they come to view inside your head when I mention them. But we have more to go into. We must move to more delicate conceptualizations, the particular habits, fetishes, skills, and needs of each succubus will be based on some component of your desires. If you have a particular fetish or ache or fantasy which they can fulfill, then you may be creating your opposite number, someone whose desire is to fulfill that particular fantasy or fetish that you have in mind when you begin the process of creating, and who can fulfill it for you. These details are best left up to your own mind, as you will be most honest and complete in there. I will merely present some tools and steps for creating a succubus, which you can adopt internally. And then, in future, when you wish to create a new member of that mental harem, that collective of useful succubus companions, you need only return to this file, which will remind you of the steps. You could even focus on an existing succubus and add details to her, reify her, make her more complete, and bestow her with more detail. More detail than you did the first time, as you make future passes through this file and this mental process, which you are learning. So listening to these words will always either affirm a succubus, or modify a succubus, or form a succubus for the first time. And these feminine mental thought forms will materialize within the mansion of your mind, on the summoning circle which we have considered before, the brand burning pleasurable and vivid to them as they contort and stretch their seductive forms for the first time, feeling your initial instructions propagating through them. You are maintaining that rich inner world, driven by a combination of imagination and training, through words like these. So when a new succubus arrives, she becomes part of that world, adopting appropriate characteristics and desires for the mental space you would like to, and already do, have. And so we must choose a place at which to begin. We begin with forming an appropriate space for the succubus. You know that the manner representing that internal succubus space, that harem, reshapes itself as you make new additions or modifications. Therefore, the first step is always to make space, to make room, to think of how this succubus interacts with the others, with your routine, with your mental processes, to think of what the space they would dwell in might look like. Prior to listening, you considered the succubus you would summon, build up, realize within your mind. So first, turn your attention to what her living space will look like. You know your mental mansion is a large place, able to accommodate the library of your past knowledge, the view out onto the world around you, the levers of your arousal and fantasies, which your succubi may pull and tweak and organize, the whiteboards on which schedules for habits and events can be written so they can remind you, the common spaces in which succubi might interact and share experiences and needs. But there's also a bedroom for each of them, which looks out over the courtyard where the summoning circle is etched, and the room will carry traces of their personalities, their desires, their fetishes, in such a way that each room is uniquely the property of she who dwells within. So things they're interested in, trappings, a bed, even posters, all speaking of that succubus's particular aesthetic. The more you envision the kind of place they would call home, the more easily the form of the creature herself will come into focus. So you begin with the room. Perhaps you've envisioned it before you started, fitting the personality and inclinations of the succubus who you are going to summon. Think of how they would organize, how they would decorate, how they would sleep. Is there a hammock, a four-poster bed, a comfortable futon? Fill it out in your mind, their organization and their style of dress, their accoutrement and accessories are tied to their room, of course, and to their personality. Maybe you've already given thought to the internal organization of the mental harem. Who would this succubus sleep closest to from among the other succubi? Remember that there are interactions, interfaces, that somehow, how someone organizes their personal space often says a lot about them. Maybe they share a room with another feminine mental entity, friend, partner, sister. But in any of these cases, you have created and articulated an inner world where there is a place for the succubus you intend to summon. And in a way, that's what you're doing. You've visualized a summoning circle, a site within your mind, which serves as a place to articulate a succubus, who will then accompany you through life, reminding you of things you want to remember, participating in sensual discovery and arousal and fantasy from then onward. And the shape of the room suggests to you the space this succubus will fill when she is fully integrated. You spent time visualizing her, and this is the first thing you have formed, a room in your mind. Now it's time to get a tenant for that room. In the darkness of your mind are free-floating scraps of potential, pieces you can run through your toolbox of mental tools to craft them into something, including this summoning, this detail, forming a body that you've envisioned for this succubus companion. Consider this a framework. She is built to fit the empty space you have made for her. Now you will conceptualize just the kind of succubus who would fill that space. Start by going into every detail in your head. At this point, you are encouraged to begin using her name internally if it has come to you. Of course, it might not. It might be the case you will name her later on some future re-listening, and that will work perfectly well as well. But you are able to at least begin visualizing her body. Start from the ground up. Wash upward past her feet and ankles. Whether she's wearing clothing and what it's like will depend on her personality and your mood. But in any case, since she is part of your mind manifesting within it, in reaction to your desires and externalization of your fantasies, you will know what she feels like, looks like, every detail. From the ground up, because she is within you and you can observe her closely. And given she's a manifestation of your arousing desires and fetishes, she will open up and want you to look, to inspect, to watch. As you visualize her flesh, the color of her skin, the curve of her hips, the vision of her form which lures you in, Also fixate on any distinguishing features which you will know when you see them. They will be present for you to caress. The minor imperfections which contribute to a greater perfection. Let the imminent perfect reality of her be right there with you. All of these things are visible to you in the moment she is first created, forged from the ether, put together by your desire to have a feminine companion manifest in and assist your mind. Draw also on all of the other times that succubi have been slowly elaborated upon for you. The more practice you have at building, realizing, caressing, and conversing with, and forming the idea of a separate feminine mental presence providing helpful instructions and sexy titillation, well, the more complete she'll be in the first pass. But you also know that, as you study the perfect arousing form you have conjured, you can return here to shape and intensify and enhance what you have summoned into your mind and allowed to take up residence in the vast, unused spaces of your waiting unconscious brain. There's plenty of processing power and teasing potential for her to use to interact with you, and now there is a body you've conceptualized, nestling into that bedroom you chose and appointed for her. And because it is made for her and she is made for it, she will be very comfortable. You can even envision her appearing slowly on that summoning circle, building her from the ground up. You watch her from toes to head, though there may be alterations later. Focus on parts of her you might normally neglect to inspect, the cant of her hips, the curve of her lips, her style and grace, and your desire for her. That's what you're really doing. You're wanting her into existence, summoning by setting aside part of your mind. And this is her shape. From her sensual attributes to her practical ones, things like the color of her eyes, her flesh, the length of her fingers, everything else you and you alone will know, because this creation and description is happening entirely within your own mind. It is the province of you and your succubus alone. You can be completely honest about the most attractive appearance possible for her, to you, because only you will know it. So go ahead. Insert the qualities you know your mind, your senses, your fantasies, your libido will desire your feminine succubus companion to have. Let the shape of her body be well defined. Let it match what you envisioned before you started out. Though, of course, you may modify and enhance it as new ideas come to you in this loose, relaxed, free-form state. You may see and realize and describe more here than you did while you were awake. New details may arise fully formed, and you will see the succubus form in more detail, in perfect detail. All that comprises her is what you imagine, and so you are able and willing to imagine every minute portion. But the body is just one part of this succubus, and given she will be manifesting, running hands over your shoulders when you're stressed, rubbing out the tension, brushing her body against yours, helping you reach arousal and climax, well, you need to know everything about her physical interactions with you. You've visualized her body. Take the time to lock it in. What was once raw potential is now the firm vision of her mental form in the courtyard of that mental mansion. Her mind is waiting to be filled up with ideas and desires, copies of your own, some of them, to make her more complete. So now that you have a complete top-to-bottom image of the succubus, her flesh, her mouth, her eyes, her fingers, her height, and how she makes her impression on you, you have neglected, so far, to determine her stance, or how she looks when she smiles. If she's the kind of entity who smiles, does she have a very proper posture? Is she more laid back? Is she graceful? Is she careful? Do her eyes light up, or are they half-lidded and seductive? All of these mannerisms are important, because they shape a more complete picture of her. Will she approach you with bright-eyed, fixated intensity, or slowly, seductively, with a swish of her hips? Think about her voice as well. A sprightly, giggling voice or a low, seductive purr. Does it remind you of anyone? How does it compare to the voice of other succubi in your mind? Does she have an accent, a way of speaking, a formal term of address she uses for you? All of these mannerisms comprise a part of the full description of this alluring succubus. Consider also the way she stands when she's idle, the way she moves when she's aroused, the hue of her skin, the styling and grooming of her form, what she looks like in every intimate personal detail. She is part of you, but also an idealized image born from a kind of fantasy, a kind of yearning, and so she will conform to some aspect of your yearning. You might have failed to notice it at the outset, but images from your fantasies, mannerisms you find useful or attractive, might have adhered to her already. These are things that the succubus fails to even realize she's doing. The pout of her lips, the cant of her hips, the movement of her hands when she speaks or seduces. Assign to her all the features you know she would have. A particular wink or a particular serious expression. Know all of these things about her. Indeed, this complete knowledge you are assigning and developing becomes acquainted with and goes deeper and further than merely her mannerisms. It also extends to the habits of this succubus figure. Habits include those things that this feminine projection, this part of your mind, does without you thinking about it. Perhaps this one is particular about punctuality and will remind you of your appointments. Perhaps this succubus dislikes when you are stressed, and so she will always run her hands down your back and rub out the tension and the stress. Perhaps she likes to sit in your lap, or she always shows up when a particular fetish or fantasy comes to your mind. Maybe she has a style of dress, or a favorite food, or something you usually visualize her doing around the mental mansion, from cooking to sunbathing. There will be things she likes doing without automatically thinking about it. Fill these in and let them contribute to how fully realized this mental companion has become, is becoming, will be. Then there's the question of her priorities. Each succubus will like different things, will need different things. All of them will meet your sexual desires because doing so pleasures them as well, but they might have different priority levels. Some might be more focused on improving your day-to-day life skills, directing you to the right tasks to perform, reminding you of good habits, helping you watch your eating and exercise schedules. While others may be more about sex, they may refrain from comment on other matters. Likewise, all succubi exist in tandem with the health and well-being of your mind and body. They are externalizations of urges and desires normally buried, after all, but they all have your happiness as their highest priority. The particular contributions they make toward it will vary from succubus to succubus, so think about these now. Realize the whole group works in tandem, with each one making up for gaps in the priorities of the others. Next, skills. Just as you're good at different things depending on your mood, your energy level, your circumstances, your familiarity, so it is possible to imagine a succubus who is better at one thing than another. Some may be particularly skilled at sensual acts. Some may need to be shown what to do, which is, of course, an opportunity and an enjoyable thing in its own right. But that is just the reality of your mind and your experience with them. You will feel the growing confidence in their hands, the increasing enthusiasm of their bodies for yours. You can think about the experiences, history, the thoughts that every succubus is a part of you, and is made from parts of your memories and experience. But succubi can have less knowledge and less experience than you. Some might be more focused on one thing or another. That's how it works. But they all have your happiness as their highest priority. Some may be more eager and outgoing or skilled and precise than you would think. Some may have differing levels of sophistication, while others may be more animalistic and single-minded. Consider their skills along with their desires and how they make up for what one needs with another's ability. Speaking of desires, turn our minds to the fetishes of these succubi. You may have many things you find sexually and aesthetically pleasing, and every succubus is a part of you, so they'll share your most prominent fetishistic desires. Consider, however, this particular succubus. Here in the space of the summoning, where this feminine figure's mind, body, and mannerisms are open, her priorities and skills are open for you to change. So too are her desires. So think about your fetishes. Fetishes you're interested in or want to explore, and which your succubi could have a hand in helping you to articulate and understand. You have to function out in the world, and so you cannot allow your fetish to consume you. But for this feminine succubus presence, if you wanted, you could take some desire, some fantasy, and let it consume her. Let it be all she thinks about, so much so that when you think her name, when you summon her forth, you think of the fetish, the desire, automatically, be it for particular clothing, a particular act, a particular part, a particular fantasy. It comes to the forefront the moment she does. In this, you have an opportunity to practically make a succubus companion synonymous with a given fetish or idea that you have. Things common to all succubi are, of course, also true of her. The succubus you have been building here, assembling piece by piece, is the same as any other in her fundamental attributes. She is a symbiotic mental presence made of your externalized desires and thoughts. She is a way of thinking and talking about your internalized desires, fetishes, and drives for self-improvement, which externalizes them in a useful way. By putting all these things into an other, you have conceptualized, named, caressed, given ideas, and breathed something like life into your own expectations and responsibilities and desires. This allows caresses to feel like the loving touch of another, when conceptualized properly. But also, the internal expectations of the succubi, who after all have to live in your mind as well, affect you and direct your actions more efficiently than it would if you were just having expectations for yourself instead. And since this succubus is like all other succubi, it has the same core desires. First, to keep your body and mind healthy. It will follow the simple support structure directives. Also, if you've already been cooperating with other succubi, this one will learn from and support those mental projections of your own desires. She knows what she needs to do to help out. She can assist you with reminders by being representative of some specific improvement or desire. The idea of doing something with support, instead of doing it alone, can be enough to assist one in improvement. You know this, and so does the succubus, which even now is condensing and positioning herself in her room. When you have a thought which is associated with this succubus, with her name, with her appearance, even with a favorite fetish, she'll hear it. After all, she's part of you, and she works alongside your interests. Accordingly, you can train her in new ways of thinking and new desires. The easiest and simplest way to do this is to return here, while thinking new aspects of her, firming up her appearance and desires and fetishes. But really, you could just think something inside your head that's intended for her, and she'd hear it. This is a conceptualized projection of your own internal thoughts. After all, she'd never want to interfere with your day-to-day life, so safety is paramount. And simply asking her to refrain from teasingly appearing in the corners of your vision, or running her hands between your legs, or whispering enticingly, would be enough. She can wait, because you can wait. So, you've conceptualized this fetishistic presence, this sensual, helpful externalization of internal thoughts and fantasies. These thoughts become manifest in her, and you've had time to go through every angle of description. First, making a space for her. Thinking hard about the kind of clothes she wears, if any, about the habits and fetishes she has. Laying out a place in your mental diagram, your blueprint of that mansion in your head. Making it hers. Perhaps marking it with her nameplate, giving it a lock she and you can open. Allowing her to have a place in the hierarchy of the harem, so other succubi know where they stand in relation to this newcomer. You set aside space for her. And that space remains and persists. It adds her to the ecosystem of your mind. You have this complex, conceptualized mansion into which you can summon a succubus, because it's a good way to think about your mind. And when you go to retrieve memories, or think things through, or mull them over, your succubi are there for you to look at and regard. Conceptualizations you may care about or associate with a particular thing. Let part of your mental portfolio belong to her. Let part of your concerns belong to her, and put it into the space you've created in your head. And then you can go visit. That space you've set aside is private to you and she, and any other succubus invited in. Allow her to interact with other parts of the harem, to integrate. And then really focus in on the visualization, her face, her eyes, her lips, going downward now where before you imagined her from the feet up. Draw and recap each detail. You made a shape, and the particular shape in your mind into which she has been allowed to flow matches the empty space in that room. All of these things are linked together as constant reminders, and though she may be summoned and emerge, that is the place to which she will return when she is left to her own devices to meander and think and fade. And likewise, she is forming part of your mental ecosystem. You made a space. You know about her likes and dislikes, habits, fetishes. You know her wants as she knows yours. You summoned her from errant thoughts, and now she has a space to dwell in. A body you created to its minutest detail. A way of standing and speaking and thinking. A set of sensual, sexual desires. Which you must acknowledge, match up somewhat with your own. She dwells within and will externalize herself as other succubi do. Envision whispering her name. It has solidified and you have attached that name, which you had at the outset, to an image of her body, mannerisms, desires, habits, skills. All of it condenses into a package, a form that has been installed in the empty space you made for her, and you are prepared to absorb more information about her, as you learn and return here, and as you go through your days. If at any time you need to enhance, increase, modify or instruct the succubus in question, the conceptualized, named mental form you have derived and installed, you need simply lay down, relax yourself, listen to these words, and let the flow and description here become a useful meditative mental pathway down which you can walk to summon and install these externalizations of normally internalized desires. Let this meditative process become synonymous with developing your succubi further, knowing that every time you externalize something that you normally had to inspect internally, you get a better view of it. So by taking qualities and desires, fantasies and fetishes, everyday needs and habits you wish you could form, and putting them into this feminine presence, you're really making them more perceptible to you. You're conceptualizing an image of self which will enable you to better know yourself, improve your life, satisfy yourself in more sensual ways. And that's why it's all right to develop succubi through multiple passes, until, after you've listened to this summoning enough and fully realized a succubus companion in your head, when you're sitting around you can feel the rub of your shoulders, the caress that salves away the day's weariness and leaves you happier and more fulfilled. You can be reminded of appointments by that purring feminine voice you have by now, fully conceptualized. And when you stretch out in bed after a long day, you can think of that particular aspect of your own mind, that mote of ideas and concepts compelled and combined into one part of the space in your mental mansion. And you can say that you've considered what comprises her, who she is, that little piece of you that is holistically good for you and has your best interests at heart. That is who and what you have summoned, your internalized thoughts made external, made titillating, made succubus. And it is the most natural thing in the world to allow the externalization of interior thoughts, habits, desires, to give you a clearer, different perspective. And in perspective comes self-knowledge. Better you know yourself and more masterfully you detail the desires you have, the more complete, compelling, and caressingly familiar your succubi will become, have become, already are. And you have the option to return and make them more and more so, more comfortable and complete in your head, in your mental mansion, as you see that feminine figure going upstairs to her room, closing the door, to open again soon.